My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Willard and Dibs, and we're taking your calls throughout the final hour of our week. Do you still consider the 49ers Super Bowl favorites if Christian misses at least 5 games? And what do you expect the record to be when they get done with that, assuming he heads to IR, which all indications are right now that the Niners will do that at some point tomorrow or earlier? Dave in San Jose, next up here on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Dave. What's good?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Good, man. And thanks for calling me, buddy.
Yeah, I love the show. I've been listening for a while now.
Appreciate it, pal.
I just wanted to touch on the McCaffrey subject. I honestly think the Niners will be fine without him, maybe till week 5. You know, because Kyle Shanahan's always been really good with a bunch of running backs since he's came in to the system. So I think we should be fine. And that's what I wanted to say, because he's had a lot of running backs over the years, and they've all been productive. For example, Jeff Wilson, he was always productive when he was here. So, yeah, I think we'll be good.
You know what's interesting, Dave? Can I ask you a question? Did you feel that way last week?
No, of course, because I used to tell my brother when we were watching Jordan Mason run the ball, I think like in preseason as a rookie year, and I was like, man, this guy runs hard. Like, you should give him some reps. And when he finally got a shot, me and my bro weren't surprised. We were just like, okay, man, we told you, like, this guy can run. So, I think we should be fine.
Yeah, Dave, I get that. Here's what I would say. Dave, thanks. I'm going to try to split the difference here. I'm going to thread the needle for a second, okay? Because the 49ers will remain good. They will remain good. Can they win all the way through to the end? For me, it's kind of too early to be talking about the end. That's why I phrased it as, are they still Super Bowl favorites? Not like, are they still going to win the Super Bowl? It's freaking week two. There's so many things that can happen, right? But here's where I'm going to try to thread the needle. I believe they can stay good. I believe Jordan Mason, if you gave him 17 games, I think the numbers would be fantastic. I believe all of that. That said, at the very same time, I think from what I'm hearing from people today, many of you are going too far in the direction of the 49ers will remain essentially unchanged without Christian McCaffrey, or feeling like that they will still be 5-0 or the favorite or what have you. If you believe that the 49ers will remain that good without Christian McCaffrey, you probably should not be paying Christian McCaffrey what you're paying Christian McCaffrey. That doesn't make any sense to me. If you're still in that turn and burn mode of Shanahan can put any running back there, then let's go back. He brought up Jeff Wilson. Let's go back to that. Let's go back to 3 guys with 130 carries. I thought that the Niner offense changed pretty significantly when Christian got here. And just because Jordan looked really good on a Monday night, I'm going to choose to not forget that. I think this offense is way better with Christian McCaffrey in it than it is without him.
Agreed, but I don't think that it has to be way better in week two, especially when you've got this opponent. I think you can win without McCaffrey. You can beat the Rams without him. You can beat Arizona without him, and you should beat New England without him. So does Christian McCaffrey make the difference in the end of the year? You bet your offense is better with him, and he was a key player in the Super Bowl. If he doesn't fumble in the Super Bowl, you might go out and win the game. So I do think that having McCaffrey toward the end of the year is more important than having him toward the beginning of the year. Now, you'd love to have him for all 17 plus three or four in the playoffs, but that's not going to be the way it goes this year. So for me, yes, your team is not as good without McCaffrey, but you are still good enough to be a Super Bowl favorite, to go 5-0. And, you know, you head into Dallas and Kansas City and Buffalo, and you get that real tough stretch toward the middle of the year. Ask me then if I want McCaffrey.
Yeah, like, no, I agree with, that's why I'm saying I'm trying to thread the needle. I don't think the Niners suddenly become, like, not good, or they don't have a chance to win the Super Bowl, or whatever. Like, yes, they are still a favorite, but I just think that we're saying it a little bit too firmly. I think that Monday night has given our confidence maybe just a little bit too much of a boost.
That's fair. And I, you know, talk to me on Monday if they happen to lose to Minnesota. They haven't won there in 32 years. My tune will be certainly different. They've lost seven straight in Minnesota. On the flip side, what if they were going to be without Purdy? For if Purdy had the same issue and he was going on IR and you didn't have him for the next four games, would it be, it would probably be a little too aggressive to say, oh, I think they could still be 5-0. I do think they could be 4-1.
I don't.
Yeah. See, that's where, and this is no disrespect to Brock, but it speaks to everything they have going for him as a team. That would still be there.
I think that.
And I'm sorry, in this hypothetical, you'd have McCaffrey, you wouldn't have Purdy. So it'd be Brandon Allen with everybody as opposed to Purdy with everyone except McCaffrey.
And that's why I said everything I said yesterday about Brock Purdy or just the quarterback position. Traditionally in the NFL, you lose your quarterback, you careen off of a cliff. We've watched this with so many teams. Are the 49ers different because of the depth of their roster? You could argue that, but here's the way I would phrase it. Right now, the 49ers are special. That is a special roster.
I love that word.
And if you lose one of the players, non-quarterbacks now, all of them, from Trent to Nick to Fred, George, Debo, whatever, all of them, each one of them represents a little bit of a ding, just like Christian does, a little bit of a ding. But do you remain, like what we saw Monday night, does that remain a special roster? Yes, it does. You put Brandon Allen in at quarterback, as the person to distribute all of that, I don't think they're special anymore. They can still be functional. They could still win a game. They could still do a 23-20 kind of a thing. But you become, in my opinion, when you start going to backup quarterbacks, unless they pop in ways that you didn't know, like Brock did when he came on the scene, I don't think you're special anymore. You just become part of the sea of the NFL.
Yeah, see, I think you're not special anymore, but you're still good, and you're probably very good. And then it becomes incumbent on Kyle Shanahan to figure out how you go about winning in that situation, as he's doing now. So now he goes into Minnesota without Christian McCaffrey. He's out for this game, maybe longer, and Shanahan's got to look at his play sheet and think, all right, all these plays I like to design for McCaffrey to go out of the backfield and catch the ball, or I'll put my running back in the slot, or I'll even spread him out wide and let him be my receiver. Well, Mason doesn't really do that. So those plays have to get reworked, or maybe those plays don't get included. So now Shanahan's in the lab, and he's trying to figure out, with his personnel, what actually works for this group.
I just always think, and this is a generalization, sensation.
Thank you. But
when you go to a backup quarterback, most of them in the NFL can no longer get the ball to wide receivers down the field. Most of them. You watched it last night. I know that's not a great example because you're down by 21 and you just kind of, like, the Dolphins are like, can we just leave? Like, we don't want to be here anymore. But Skylar Thompson came out and they're like, Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, just get off the field and we're going to throw the ball to Devon Achane to the right and to the left and just run the clock and get the bleep out of town. That's the way they handled it. But you see a lot of that. Like, I was intrigued by Jaden Daniels week one, but Terry McLaurin, nope. Like, you're not...
Brian Robinson, let's
there
go.
There you go.
Let
because,
him eat.
Because everything's close to the line of scrimmage. So what would Christian McCaffrey look like with Brandon Allen if you didn't have to worry about Brandon Ayuk downfield, you didn't have to worry about Deebo downfield, there's no Juwan Jennings over the middle of the field, there's none of that. Because everything's got to be just right there close and get the ball out of the hands, and you just, it's very difficult to string together first downs like that. So that's why I feel the way I do about the quarterbacks. When you find one that can use the whole field and all the weapons, that's how you get $50 to $60 million. And the Niners, I believe, have one of those. I don't believe they have two or three.
No, no team has two or three. And, you know, Pittsburgh might think they have two, but they probably have zero.
The Niners might have had, well, they thought they had three 2 years ago. Turns out their starter was the one who couldn't.
Well, they thought they had two last year, and now those two quarterbacks are going head-to-head on Sunday, and Brandon Allen gets elevated, and your QB3 is a guy who started about six or seven games last year, so their QB room is better than most. But yes, there would be a step down no matter who you lose. Now it comes down to how do you go about winning the game with what you have. And that's what makes Sunday, you know, coming off of Monday, it makes it even more interesting.
888-957-9570, the number. Dino in San Jose. Hi, Dino. Thanks for calling.
Well, Dibs already kind of said what I was thinking earlier, but with Mason going in and with CMC going on the IR potentially, I think the offense changes, but I still think the Niners are going to be dominant. Kyle Shanahan's obviously one of the best coaches in the league, and I still think come this Sunday they're going to ball out for the next few weeks.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, Dino,
thank you, Dino.
I keep asking everybody the exact same question when they say it, and I actually appreciated the way you answered this, which is whatever your optimism is, was it at the same level on Monday afternoon at 4 o'clock? Because I'd argue no. We sat there. We were at the stadium. We watched the looks on people's faces, our own faces, when this news came down. And let's just be freaking real for a second about how y'all felt. The news came down, and you looked at your friend or your spouse or your kids or your mom or your dad, and you went, oh, bleep. And I can pull my phone up right now and show you the text, read the text that I got. I read the in fact, maybe I'll do that here in a second. I'm going to pull up the text messages that came in when Christian McCaffrey was announced out. You want to know what none of them said? We'll be fine. We can still go 5-0. Nobody said that.
Let Mason eat is the text I got.
Nobody went, you know what? Jordan Mason's pretty amazeballs. We're going to be fine. We're still going to win all the games. We're still going to win. Nobody did that. You all went, oh, bleep. And then he went out and did what many of us thought he could maybe do if he ever got a chance, but it was never in this form. It was never like, instead of Christian McCaffrey. And so he goes out and has a great game, and I just think now we're peacocking. We're peacocking, and it's fine. It's good. I hope you're all right. But this like, oh, blasé, no Christian, a little too quick for me.
Well, that's all. I will lean on the Vegas movement. Then the spread has moved by a half a point since the word came out that he's going to be out. So I do think that sometimes we fixate too much on individuals in a game played by 11 on 11. And yes, the quarterback is the most important person in all of sports. When the quarterback is on the field and you don't have a good one, you don't have a chance. And I get that. And running back is a position that's been devalued around the league, and the Niners don't devalue it. And so they gave him a new contract, and he's the highest paid running back and all the rest of it. But then he's out, and his backup in his first start gets 28 carries and goes over a buck 40. So I do think the loss of McCaffrey in the short run in these games is less dramatic than, you know, the name of the person who's going out.
Listening to you guys, huge blow. Really hope this doesn't allude to a greater Achilles concern. Here's another one. Tried to tell you calves are tricky. F U C boop.
I love a know-it-all.
I told you. Well, I won't tell you who that was.
I know who that was.
No, you don't.
I know I don't. I'm just saying that. I can probably guess. Although I don't, you text a lot of different people. Like,
yeah, I got people.
Yeah, I see you over there with your index fingers going crazy.
By the way, I like just full transparency to both you, to the bosses at Odyssey,
look,
to the YouTubers who might see while you're talking me doing things on the phone. if I'm doing that, it's because children
I get it
are loose in the world and wanting to know where, what, why, how can you,
how much
can you please send me? I'm at the checkout stand right now. Please send money. Sometimes, lovely Christy, that's pretty much it. I'm not over here.
No, of course.
Yeah.
Nor am I.
Just want to let you know.
Yeah.
That's all.
You know.
All right.
Of course.
Rich in Fremont. Hi, Rich. What's good?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. You know, I think one of the reasons why Mason had such a great game was because, really, no teams in the NFL have really seen this guy. You know, and what do we know? We know that, hey, when teams prepare for other teams, they wait for them to be, you know, 2-3 years, and then that way they got tape on them and they can prepare for them. But they couldn't prepare for Jordan Mason, okay? They prepared for CMC, okay? Instead, they got Jordan Mason. So this kept the defense off balance. That's the reason why he ran as well as he did. Okay, now they got tape on him, okay? So they know that Kyle Shanahan's going to run the football, okay? So, I mean, I expect Minnesota to probably prepare a little differently for the Niners than the team they played last week. And the other thing I wanted to point out is that, you know, really, without CMC, okay, it takes away the dynamics that Kyle Shanahan can utilize when he's running the offense. Because what do we know? CMC's a threat, no question about it. When he's healthy, he's a threat. And because of that, Kyle can utilize that threat. And he can even not even use it at all, just use him as a decoy. Once again, what are you doing? You're keeping the defense unbalanced. And with CMC not out there, they don't have the same dynamic. Thanks, guys.
Rich, thanks.
It's a fair point as far as, you know, the decoy factor and moving Christian around. You have to account for him more than you do J.P. Mason.
No doubt. Although the preparation, I'm interested by this. Okay, so in many ways, it might be what the 49ers were doing in not letting the news out until an hour and 20 minutes before kickoff, so that the Jets, right? Yeah, you couldn't prepare for what was going to be a different style. That's true. At the same time, to insinuate that J.P. Mason only succeeded because the Jets didn't know he was coming, I feel is a little bit of an overstatement, because it's not like the Jets were just completely unfamiliar with the idea of a running back.
Right.
Like, stylistically, do you not have to worry about Christian anymore? I'd argue if I'm a defense, that should help me. I now have less to think about. I can just go try to plug the gaps, or I can, you know, jam the box or whatever. So I think there's some validity to it, but it's not like Mason's doing something that was all crazy that they weren't ready for. He's taking the ball and running it.
Yes, but I do think, having watched the game a few times, that they run it with Jordan Mason differently than they do with Christian McCaffrey. A little bit more inside the tackles, and Juszczyk played his usual amount of snaps, about 60%, but a lot of the time he was in there, they would motion him up to the line of scrimmage, so he'd be in a single back. When McCaffrey's back there, there's a lot of two-back sets in the backfield, I formation and whatnot, so the run look was different. But Rich is right. You got 28 carries worth of tape now from fresh Mason, so now you can make the adjustments.
And he got a lot of yards after contact, and for that he deserves credit. On the other hand, I feel like a lot of running backs would have put up decent numbers with the holes that were being created by that offensive line.
Yep.
There are a lot of NFL players who would have gone over 100 yards in that game. I'm not diminishing what he did. He's fantastic.
Yeah.
But offensive line was incredible. Was incredible.
Yes, and even more so than the yards after contact, it was the yards before contact, to your point about the holes. And I'm just watching a collection of his runs right now, and on most of the runs, he was 5 or 6 yards downfield before anybody even touched him. Which would be pretty cool if that could be the norm, you know?
I expected the sledding to be a little tougher on Sunday, for sure. Steven in Concord next up on Willie and Dibby. Hi, Steven.
Hey, what's up, guys? First-time caller. Love your show. Listen all the time.
Thank you.
My concern would be more of, like, Christian McCaffrey himself. How does this affect his long-term status for the season? Does he get banged up later on down the road? And then the overall margin of error for the team, because now that he's hurt, what happens if a Trent Williams goes down, or a Deebo goes down, or an Ayuk? it just adds more pressure for the season now that he is officially out. And who knows, I mean, with an Achilles slash calf, that could be kind of a crazy one. So, like, how does this impact the team moving forward with other injuries? Because it is football, and, you know, it's most likely going to happen to somebody.
Well,
how does that impact them?
This is a great point. And again, there's no way – thank you, Steve. There's no way to answer it right now because we don't know what's hanging out around the bend. But, you know, we start talking about the other names around the field. What about Jordan? What about Jordan Mason? Like, how you feeling about your backfield now if he goes down? And don't forget, after 28 carries, what he stated he did, he walked right over to Christian and went, how do you do this every week?
Right, right.
Like, I think it's a leap right now. And again, we're only talking about, for the moment, week two, but the high likelihood weeks two, three, four, and five. But what if this does linger and Jordan Mason is asked to be a starting running back for the full year? I don't know if he's ready for that.
Exactly.
I have no clue what to think about that.
Well, 28 carries is the most any running back has had in the Shanahan era. So you would think that that might be...
Damn, really?
Yeah, I'd heard that, and it makes perfect sense. And it's a little bit of a one-off based on the situation, and Guerrero probably not being ready and stuff. And so you hope that... I had to get one in there.
Nice job.
You hope that going forward, you can get a little bit more balance in there. But I thought the caller made a good point about the margin for error among injuries, because you've got, what, 8 of the top 100 players in the league, and you already have 2 of those guys who are out, Dre Greenlaw and now Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. So you have 6 remaining in that top 100. So if you lose another one of those guys, now you're starting to really get into the depth of your roster.
And then going to more what he did bring up, you know, yeah, like Deebo Samuel right now is such a security blanket. And have we ever seen Deebo play all the games? Thinking no.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So, like, reasonable to assume that Deebo Samuel battering ram the way he plays, now we're giving him carries out of the backfield. Like, how's that going to go? He stayed on the sideline for a minute or two on Monday night after one of those hits. You know, Juwan Jennings limped off at a certain point. Luckily, he was okay. But, yeah, this thing can snowball fast.
Yes. It can, and this is where, you know, the roster, every team goes through this. You have to worry about the depth of your roster, and forget Miami losing 2 to a concussion, which was terrible to see. But when you lose other players, like Miami, they had 4 running backs coming into the season. They've played 2 games, and they're down to 2 running backs. So these things happen quickly across many positions, and you have to be able to pivot as an offense, and that's what Shanahan's going to have to do on Sunday.
888-957-9570. Do you still consider the Niners Super Bowl favorites now that Christian McCaffrey is out week 2 and likely out until at least week 6? And what kind of record do you expect him to have in the first 5, assuming that Christian does miss all of those games? How about Drew in San Jose? Hi, Drew. What's up?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
You know, just hanging out doing radio.
All right. Yeah. I mean, we've been listening to the discussion, and yeah, my thoughts are basically this. Look, I think, like, the offense in and of itself, okay, I think they can hold their own for the most part. I think, well, like, it pretty much without Christian McCaffrey, we go back to being, you know, the offense that we were like a couple of years ago, where we were pretty good at driving down the field. Maybe we're not the best red zone offense in the NFL anymore, but, you know, we pretty much hold our own. I think the biggest improvement needs to be on the defensive side of the ball, because I think the onus and the pressure is on them to be much better than they were last year. And, you know, that's on the D line. That's, I mean, I know our corner depth is better than it was last year. So the onus is on them to be better. And, like, with the Sorensen and Staley law firm that we have going on the defensive side of the ball, what is that going to mean in terms of, like, where our defense is at? So I actually think that if you're looking for, like, where do we make up the gap with Christian McCaffrey, it's going to have to be on the defensive side. But, yeah, I am concerned about the overall long-term longevity of Christian McCaffrey going forward. Even if he does go on IR, what does that mean? Does he split carries for the rest of the year with Jordan Mason? And also with regards to Jordan Mason, I mean, can he keep up going 28 carries for, like, even 5 weeks? Like, it's the most he's rushed since high school. So, I mean, fatigue is going to play a factor when it comes to him. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of questions, but I do think most of the onus is actually on the defense to improve. Yep. I think the offense can hold there.
Drew, thanks. First of all, no, I do not think that Jordan Mason getting 28 carries per game is a sustainable format, a good idea. Not at all. I don't think that for anybody. And as you said, that stat you threw out was pretty wild, that's the most in the Kyle Shanahan era with the 49ers of a running back for carries in a game. That's crazy. And so, no, I don't think that they will at least purposefully attempt to do that going forward. And then with regard to the defense, I fully agree with his point, but I thought that was true anyway. Like, even if Christian McCaffrey had a healthy season with 17 games, I'd have been looking at the defense to improve. They were solid last year. There's no doubt about that. But yeah, I think with the personnel they have, we all feel like they can be better. I'm totally stuck on what they looked like in the first half against Detroit. It was inexcusable. It was wild.
Yeah, and I've really kind of wiped away that from bringing that to this year, because I do think it was a number of things. It was the coordinator who didn't really match up with the defensive players. You remember Steve Wilks was up in the booth, and then we had Boothgate on whether or not he wanted to be on the sideline, then he was on the sideline, and things never matched up last year. So I take the struggles that they had last year and kind of wipe it away and realize that this is a new team. I do want to correct what I said, because I was thinking about the one game, and it was Raheem Mostert in the playoffs against Green Bay.
Against the Packers.
29 carries. 29. For 220.
Oh, dude, he was, so I mean.
Maybe that was regular season, I was thinking, okay, where he hadn't had a regular. But Mostert went 29 for 220.
Close enough. But yeah, like that's what we're talking about. It's a very rare circumstance that's going to lead to north of 25 carries out of the backfield for any running back in the NFL anymore.
Only 5 rushers have ever had more than 400 carries in a year. Larry Johnson is your record holder with 416. Jamal Anderson, Dirty Bird. James Wilder, 1984 out of Tampa.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I remember that.
Eric Dickerson.
Sure.
And Eddie George.
Oh, wow.
Tennessee. So the last one was Larry Johnson in 2006. He had 416 carries.
And Jordan is on pace for 480?
476.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Which would be a record, Mark. Back to you.
Back to the calls. Vince in the city.
Nice.
Hi, Vince. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? So I don't know if...
That was a great call.
Rack him.
That was a really good call. No, there you are. Vince, yeah. Vince, start over.
Vince.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I'm going through the total right now.
Don't do that.
Yeah,
don't do that.
So what I was saying was, I don't know if the loss of CMC is as bad as everybody's making it to be. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to discount the superstar talent that C-Mac is, because he is. But I just think back to before we had CMC, there was a lot of white back going on with Debo, which is what we saw Monday night. Now, you know, there's been other running backs in the system with Kyle Shanahan that go, you know, they eat up yards. And I think it all comes down to the blocking scheme, and the O-line has always been pretty good. We got guys who can pull, who are agile, who, you know, get outside and set the edge and keep creating these gaps. That's our wide receivers like to block, so, I mean, that helps too. So I don't know if really losing CMC is that bad. We still have Juszczyk, who can come out of the backfield to catch passes. We saw it on that deep run, that deep pass where he pretty much should have scored just a yard short. So I don't know if it's going to be that bad. Jordan Mason is promising. Cooney, as a rookie, is doing what he did well. It's only one game, so I can't get too high on him. But I think it's going to come down to, obviously, the team effort when it comes to the ground game. The passing game is a whole different story. And I like what the guy said before me about the defense. I know our defense is solid. I want to see a step up in production and, you know, efficiency with our secondary, because our corners have always been, I feel like, our Achilles heel. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Vince, thank you.
Yeah, too soon for Achilles heel, but yeah, go ahead, Vince.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I'll also just say this. I'm going to sound like my mom for a second and worry a little bit too much. I don't want too much Debo. How many touches does he have in the game against the Jets?
Week one, he had 8 carries.
Okay.
And he had, 5 catches?
Okay. All right.
I'm just confirming.
I mean, the touch count is...
5 catches.
The touch count
eight
is
carries,
fine.
Yeah.
It's also the kind of touches that you get, you know, running him in between the tackles and everything. I love that, the element of the surprise with Debo. But if you go back to the Jimmy Garoppolo NFC Championship game, the year that they lost to the Rams, like, that team leaned on Debo in such an intense way down the stretch of that season. And Debo literally tried to carry them to the Super Bowl, and he almost did. And so I think you can do that, but you can only do that for a short period of time. If Christian McCaffrey is going to miss 5, 6, 7, 8 games this year, especially off the start of the year, and you want to start doing with Debo what you did on Monday night, what is Debo in January? I don't like that track.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who we've seen can break down pretty quickly. He plays so physically that asking him to carry that load over 17 games is not ideal. In this game, you had Jordan Mason play 81% of the snaps. Isaac Garendo played 3 snaps for 4%, which tells me that the other 15% of the game was either no running back or Debo at running back. And I don't recall a snap where they didn't have at least a running back. So you had Debo playing about 10 snaps as running back, and as mentioned, 8 carries. So 13 touches is okay, but it's the 8 carries that is definitely something to watch.
Yeah, 888-957-9570. Christian McCaffrey is out for week 2. Might be, probably will be more. Here's Kyle Shanahan earlier today.
Game injuries. Huff will be doubtful. Dean Winters is questionable. And McCaffrey's out.
Does Christian need any kind of procedure or anything of that nature?
No procedure.
You said earlier in the week, IR is still not an issue.
It's something we're considering now. Yeah, yesterday was his worst day. It's on and off, but with it, yesterday having the most pain, something we're going to be discussing here in the next 24 hours.
Okay, so...
Doesn't sound happy about that discussion.
No, he's going on IR. Like, he's going on IR. It's almost assured. So just
well, you can hear it in Kyle's voice.
Yes.
That's something we're going to have to discuss. We're going to have that conversation in the next 24 hours. Damn it!
And yes, spoiler alert, they already had the discussion. They already have the discussion. They got to dot some I's, cross some T's, make sure, check with doctors, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, it getting worse at this point is really bad. Matt Barrows, The Athletic, earlier with us today.
The 49ers had their hardest practice of the week on Thursday, and McCaffrey didn't react well to it. Shanahan said that the pain that he was experiencing after that practice was the worst it's been since this became problematic in early August. So he's going in the wrong direction. It's not getting better, and you know, all signs point to IR, all signs point to it happening tomorrow, and then the question would become, okay, is it just or is it longer than that? Because that's been the nature of this, is that it starts to go away, everybody starts to feel better about it, optimistic about it, and then it comes roaring back. And so, you know, my sense is that Christian McCaffrey is a guy that has trouble resting it, that he wants to be out there, he wants to be working, he wants to be practicing, but I think that what it requires right now is just him being off of that calf, him not running around and practicing, and then seeing if it resolves itself on its own.
Okay, that from Matt Barrows, The Athletic, and the latest from over at 49er camp today. Let's keep going with the calls. Do you still see the 49ers as Super Bowl favorites? What do you expect the record to be after week 5, which is likely the first time we could start talking about Christian coming back, at least the way it is headed. Kurt in Hayward is next up. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, fellas. First of all, as far as getting back to the Super Bowl, that has to be a must for the 49ers, and I'm going to tell you why. This could be the last chance that we're going to get back to the Super Bowl. And looking at the team already for the first game, offensive line is great. Defense looks even better in the secondary. As far as cast of running back is concerned, we can still win it without him. We have so much talent on that team. We are not going to be going backwards. We're going to go forward. And as far as Minnesota this weekend, did you say that we've lost there 7 times in a row?
Correct.
Well, let me tell you, that's not going to happen. And I'm going to tell you why. The offensive line is going to protect our quarterback, the defense is going to get an interception, and we're going to knock that quarterback out. bottom line.
Okay.
We're going back to the Super Bowl, Kurt, that's for sure.
Kurt, this is a great super call, Kurt. Yeah, it's an optimistic call. Can I ask you a question, though? Go back to the beginning of your comment. Why is this the last chance?
Well, because, first of all, we don't know if we're going to still have the same superstars on the team. That's number one. We don't know what's going to happen. And I don't know if they're going to have another letdown, that's going to be pretty devastating for the superstars on this team and a quarterback. And Purdy is going to get his $60 million next year, that's for sure, because one thing about him, he's a shooter with the ball. He get the ball right in there, bullseye half the time. He's a timing quarterback, and I think he's just awesome. And we got a good shot going back to the Super Bowl. No matter who we're going to play, we're going to be the champs this year, and that's the bottom line.
All right, that's the bottom line. Yeah. Kurt. Go ahead, Kurt. Go ahead with your bad self.
We're going to hit him high. We're going to hit him low. We're going to give him the business.
I can listen. I wanted to ask Kurt more questions because I could listen to him talk all day.
Pretty good.
I've played this game. I've coached this
game. That's kind of what I was thinking, that guy, that famous man.
But here's the thing that's funny to me. It's like, why is it the last chance? It's like, well, we don't know who's going to be on the team next year. But he already knows they're going to be in the Super Bowl this year.
Correct.
There's 1,000 we don't knows. I would argue it's not like the 49ers roster is just going to crater beyond recognition at the end of this year. I want to keep blowing up that narrative. I just don't believe it to be true. I don't believe they're restructuring Debo's contract if they're cutting him at the end of the year. And I don't believe that Brock Purdy's contract, which doesn't even kick in next year, I don't believe that that's going to make the 49ers make all these massive movements now. And then third, it's the Niners' job to draft and acquire players at a cheaper rate to replace the players who have to eventually leave either through retirement or getting cut or whatever. And that's their job. And it looks like they might have had a really good draft this year that might go a ways in doing that.
Yeah, they've netted some capital in the last few drafts. They've gotten some players. Jair Brown is a guy who looks like he's going to be a mainstay, and you found other players to replace. And also, you need to point out that I think they're number one in the league in cap space as it sits right now.
For this year.
Fine.
For this year.
But you can carry that
forward. You can roll it over.
Yep. You can roll that cap forward, which is going to be important as Purdy approaches the big payday. But, you know, I'm not worried even about the Super Bowl this year. I am excited to see the Minnesota matchup. And, you know, stay tuned because I'm going to make you a little bit of money here coming up in a few minutes.
Right. By the way, don't forget, in 10 minutes, fade to Dibber.
Yeah.
And you can pick any game you want this weekend, or are you definitely making a pick on the Niner game?
Oh, I'm making a pick on the Niner game. To me, that's the easiest game on the board.
Okay. Possibly.
Other than the game I already hit.
Let's continue to update the the line in that game because now Christian McCaffrey is announced out. There was a little bit of movement. Holding steady, Niners -4.5
Okay.
On the road against Sam Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah. So I'll give you my lock coming up, and you can fade me if you want, but 3-1 now on the nascent NFL season.
Forget the 3-1. 3 in a row. Three in a row.
Yeah.
Threatening for hot.
Number 3.
Oh, already hot. We're approaching scorching.
Threatening for scorching.
Then we get to scalding.
Let's go scorching first.
You ever been scalded? That ass hurts.
Yeah, like if you touch a stove.
Or if like hot water gets on you, that's a scald.
I did that this morning. I got a nasty habit of like taking the stuff out of the oven. Like I'm too lazy to walk across the kitchen to get the oven mitt.
Oh yeah.
And so sometimes I'll just use the towel and try to like fold it over. Like so it's 2 or 3 deep. Cause I know.
Cause the oven mitt is 7 feet away. Right. And you don't want to go over there.
Hey man, I'm in a hurry. So like, I'm like reaching in there and I know the towel is not an oven mitt, but I'm like, if it's just going to be 3 seconds, just do
it.
And sometimes, sometimes I just get caught there on the wrong.
Dude, I do the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Today was a pot on the stove where I just wanted to grab it and dump the water. It's like, ow. My wife's like, you knew that was hot, dummy. I thought I can handle it.
It's like you learn this when you're 4.
Totally.
And now you're in your 50s.
Damn.
And you still haven't learned.
Just laziness wins out sometimes.
It really does. A lot of times. Mike in Santa Clara. Hi, Mike. What's good?
What's up? What's up, guys? Happy Friday. Hope you guys have a great weekend coming up.
You too.
Thank you. Just wanted to kind of go off the last caller thing about the Brock Purdy part of it. what my main point was going to be was, and it's a little bit, it's obviously very early, but I want to see Brock Purdy potentially not take a $60 million contract. And what I say, what I mean by that is that I want him, and I would like to think that, you know, he's a good guy, you know, very smart and everything, and actually see about talking to veterans. And I'm just throwing some names out there that have done this. You know, Tom Brady took, you know, less money to help out with the team. Even Patrick Mahomes took less money to help out with the team or restructured it. And same with Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Well, Pat, I wouldn't say Pat took less money. At the time, that was the biggest contract in the history of the NFL. Guys are restructuring it. I think that's easier than asking people to quote unquote take less money. Mike, you know this. We're just not there yet.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, we're not there yet. Again, it's kind of just a hypothetical right now. I just want to, what my main thing was out of that is I want him to be able to actually just look at all options. And if we want to actually keep, you know, as many players or sign additional free agents as well to keep the team going, I don't think this would be our last Super Bowl year at that point. You know, we're going to have $60 million in the cap. Obviously, a lot of that is going to go to, you know, to Purdy and maybe it's some additional moves of whatever we do at that point. But I would like to see at least some sort of, like, you know, potential just rethinking of like how he goes about his contract at that. But that's all I was trying to say.
Yeah, no, I totally hear you, Mike.
I mean, it's such a rarity, and you know, Brady had already made a bunch of money. You're asking a guy who's making $900,000 to sacrifice $10 million a year for the greater good of the team.
This is just the way I look at it. This is the way I look at it, and I think players do too. It is not the player's job to build the roster.
Right.
It's the team's job to build the
roster.
And
it's not the player's job to sacrifice for the greater good.
That's right.
You get every dollar you can.
But I trust the Niners to do it. They've done an unbelievable job at roster building.
Yeah.
So I don't have worries about that going forward. They'll keep building the roster, but that's their job, not Brock's. We're sponsored by Lucky California. We'll keep taking your calls, and there's this little thing called Fade the Dibbers is coming up around the corner, too, on Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. To Willard and Dibbs.
It's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
I'd like to point something out that is completely off topic but fun.
Okay.
The San Francisco Giants had Brandon Pajemski down on the field tonight. And in fact, let him take BP.
Poughkeepsie Kid.
Which is also his initials. Somehow those two things blended together to have something special happen. Brandon Pajemski hit one out of the park.
He did.
Pajemski.
You're like, darn right.
Out of the park or just over the fence? I mean,
over the fence. Like,
the ball is wet.
He hit a home run.
Maybe he Pajemski. Went to right field.
No, it did. It went to right. He's lefty.
Right?
He's left-handed. He hit it to right field. I watched it. It was not a splash hit.
But up on top of the arcade.
It was over. It was a home run.
Okay.
Brandon Kajemski.
That's my favorite. Was he using a metal bat?
No. Wood bat.
Wood bat, okay.
Wood bat.
Because when they let people like you and I down there to take BP, they give you a metal bat.
Yeah, no, that's a wood bat. That's a bat. That's a Giants bat right there. It's the ball gone. Gone.
Gone.
Yeah.
All right.
It is out of here.
Can he play second base?
Oh, good question. He was wearing a Chappie jersey when he did it.
So okay.
There's that, too.
Well, I mean, he's the guy who's going to be here now.
Yes, I know. He probably went to the Giants. He's like, give me a jersey of someone you know is going to still be here next year, kind of like me.
Can I get a Jorge Soler and then go in the dugout and thrash an iPad? Did you see that video?
No.
Soler lost it. I think yesterday he came in and just started smashing.
I heard people doing Soler iPad jokes, and I didn't know what it was about because I didn't know baseball was still being played.
Soler greater than Apple products.
I have a Soler update. Forever Giant, he hit a home run against the Dodgers today.
Yeah!
How about that?
Way to go.
There
you go.
I mean, it's better
currently
than what,
5-2 Braves over the Dodgers.
Better than what Nick Ahmed did.
Well,
when he went to the Dodgers and homered for the Dodgers.
Worst moment of the season, no doubt. But I'm glad you brought that up, Grandy, because you know what right now is. You better start getting ready, everybody. It's root against the Dodgers season. We've arrived because we ain't got nothing else. I mean, it's Niners season. But if you want to watch a baseball game, Giants fans, you got one thing and one thing left to do. That's it. Root against the Dodgers.
I thought, but the math is still there, is it not? And I'm looking to see what their tragic number is.
The math teacher has retired.
Pretty much, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's not happening.
8.5 out in the card with 15 to go.
Yes.
It's gonna be like their chances,
it's
Bob.
It's going to be a no from them dog.
Right.
We want to go back to the calls, and we will, but we need to do something else even more. We're heading into the weekend, and it's time to fade the Dibbers.
It's time for
Fade the Dibbers.
Please explain.
Nostra Diblis gives out his pick. You bet against it. You make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Dibs, what's the lock of the day?
I'm sorry, it's never not going to be funny.
It's pretty funny.
Hey, Dibs, your picks stink.
That would bother me more if my picks actually did stink, but I'm on a 3-game win streak over here, so all you people, the chorus of haters, you're a hater. Well, you're in Lucasville right
it's
now.
It's a long season. It's a long season, but hey. Let's ride that thing, man. Let's ride that horse. What do you say?
Well, I say that this one is pretty easy, and I'm surprised that the number is as small as it's gotten because I look at these teams on film, and I see a 49er team, even without Christian McCaffrey, that is decidedly better than Minnesota. Minnesota's tight end is not around. Hockenson, not playing. Jordan Addison, their wide receiver, too, not playing. And I love Sam Darnold as much as the next guy, but he's not very good. And the Niners are only laying 4.5. They will end their run of futility in the land of 10,000 lakes. They will win, and they will cover. Take the Niners and lay the 4.5.
Why did you say that Sam Darnold is not very good when last year you argued that the Niners would not have any drop-off if he played?
Because he was good enough to be a backup. And, you know, you watch him from week one against New York, and you see that as a starter against a very mediocre Giants team, he didn't look that good, Mark.
Okay. What were his numbers? I don't even know what his numbers were.
Oh, I don't know.
What did he do last night?
He did all right. I mean, he didn't have to do much because Daniel Jones kept giving him the football.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah, there were the pick sixes and all that stuff. Here we go. Sam Darnold last week.
Probably threw 240.
208.
Wow.
19 of 24.
Woo-hoo.
Can I give you a little nug?
2 touchdown throws.
Yeah.
One pick.
If he throws 2 touchdowns this week, this will be the first time Sam Darnold throws 2 touchdowns in back-to-back games since
USC?
2019, five years.
Okay.
That's a long time.
I mean, it's not like he's had an opportunity every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's not always been a story.
Carolina.
Starter,
but, and I know this is hard for you, Lucas, because you don't want to fade me because you like the 49ers, but...
Yeah, I'm waffling.
Yeah, you should fade me anyway, tough guy, because you know I'm probably going to be wrong. and just root for the Niners to win, but not cover, and then you can be happy fading the Dibber.
And I tell you, this conversation I had earlier today with somebody who is Sam Darnold's personal quarterback coach.
Okay.
You know who that is.
I do.
That's Jordan Palmer, Carson's little brother and a former NFL quarterback in his own right. We tried to get him on the show today, and he said no, because he's not available. But then,
that's enough for me, Doug.
Yeah, like I was like, okay, fine, all good. We'd love to have you on some other time. Thanks for the text back. Unprompted. You want to know what he writes?
Tell me.
Vikings by 6.
And was there any basis for that? Just Vikings by 6.
Vikings by 6.
He heard who you were picking, didn't he?
And I wrote,
there you go.
I wrote, oh, now I really wish you could come on. And then he just wrote, the Vikings are going to be really good. His opinion.
Yeah.
It's his opinion.
Jefferson's going to be fun to watch, and I'll have my eyes on whether or not Mooney Ward follows him. Usually he just plays his side, so if Jefferson goes to the other side of the formation, what do the Niners do? Do they roll Mooney over there to match man with him? Or
Demo's ready.
Exactly.
Demo's ready.
The other one is Aaron Jones, the running back, who's been problematic. But outside of that, nobody on this offense scares me against a defense that I think is markedly better this year than it was last year.
Let's go to the phones for more Vikings-Niners preview. Will in the East Bay next up. Hi, Will. What's going on?
Well, thanks again for taking my call, Willard. Always love speaking to you guys.
That's what we're doing here, Will.
Yeah, and you do it well. You guys, we've been hearing a lot about the offense, you know, Brock Purdy, you know, the X-Factors, you know, Yusek and Mason. But let me just say this. The defense played very well, very controlled. And, of course, you know, the hater fans out there are going, why didn't Nick Bosa get more sacks? Why didn't he, you know, whine, okay? Well, let me tell you something, okay? Get ready for a big fall. And what's going to happen here is Sam Darnold's going to see a rush, and he's going to see an attack like he's never seen before. He's going to see a Peter Gabriel sledgehammer, okay? And it's going to happen early, and it's going to be efficient, and he's going to be going off that field, you know, shaking his head like, what the H happened here, okay?
Well, didn't he see this exact same defense in practice all last year?
I think so.
Okay.
But I think what you've got here is a hungry group, okay. Willard.
Yeah, no.
That basically, you know, played well, but they were putting up with criticisms like, why don't we get the sacks? You know, the big plays. And you know what? You're gonna see it this week. And you're gonna see it in Sam Darnold once he gets, you know, the pressure. He's going to feel the sledgehammer. And if it happens early, the game with the offense and the substitute players we have, you know, they're going to shine. But you're going to see a defense, not only in this game, Willard, but you're going to see a defense, I think, this year, you know, minus Kinlaw for a while. We don't know when we're going to get it back, right? You're going to see something like you've
Kinlaw's
never
a Jet.
Seen before.
He plays yeah. for the Jets now, Will.
I didn't mean to break into the Will and Willard show, but thanks for calling.
Well, and also, Will, just so you know, because I'd love for Dibs and I to not be the only two who have to experience this, your Peter Gabriel reference went so far over the heads of Grandy and Lucas, they broke both of their necks. I googled it in
1986.
I appreciate you helping them.
1986.
Grandy looked at Dibs like, what is happening?
I know Peter Gabriel is a singer, artist, musician. I did not know the song.
38 years ago, Sledgehammer was a big deal.
This is one of his most famous songs.
Mark Grandy was negative 10 years old.
That's right. I'm impressed enough that you know who Peter Gabriel is. I guarantee you Lucas does not.
I looked at Grant and said, Lenin Gabriel?
Who?
Dylan Gabriel?
Gabriel Davis? Gabriel Davis is on my bench in my fantasy league, my eighth league, not my first seven leagues, my eighth league. Yeah, anyway. All right,
on that awkward note, yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, what are you doing in 3 minutes, Grandy?
Well, the McCaffrey news kind of took over the whole day, so we're going to hear a lot of Willers and Dibs coming up, reacting to McCaffrey being out and probably going on IR.
The plan has worked perfectly.
Thank you, Niners.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Giving us another hour.
Grandy's going to be brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Great week. Thank you all for all the interaction. Ton of fun. Here we go, Niners and Vikings. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Nah.
How about Sunday?
I'll be busy watching football.
You want to do it on Monday?
Can't wait till Monday.
Fade the Dibbers.
Yeah, he's hot.
-4.5, the Niners. Okay. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not so secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.